Betsy Foldis-Myman, and this is ConnectiPod Changing the Narrative. This is a series where we collaborate with youth in communities that get a bad rap. For Season 3, Changing the Narrative, Unhoused Youth, Stories of the Tay, we're in residence at the Village Family Services Drop-In Center for Homeless Youth in North Hollywood, collaborating with the Tay. The Tay are transitional aged youth ages 14 to 24, and we're going to find out what their story is from them. Today I have with me Gal Alvarez, whom you might know from such hits like the Gale episode from last week.
Yeah. Hello, everyone.
All right. And today, Gal is going to introduce our next Tay.
So our next Tay episode is going to be focused on Lupe. Lupe is, I guess, a ray of sunshine. She comes in here and she lights up the drop-in center with her jokes or her anecdotes of her life. Yeah, she pretty much just puts a smile on everyone's faces when she walks through here.
Which is funny because she was so shy in right. the interview, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to Lupe.
Hold on.
The third voice you're going to hear in the interview is that of Alejandro Soria. He's the director of the drop-in center and also a really wonderful counselor.
My heart's just like, you know, beating because I just can't believe it. Like, you know, like I'm just like, damn, like. Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about something else until you feel better. How about that? You know? Yeah. So tell me, like, what kind of books or media, what kind of movies do you like?
I feel like I connect with more, like, if it's a story or, like, a book that is based on real life, it gives me more hope. I just feel like if others, like, were to hear my story or, like, see, like, for example, like, me, like, right now that I'm just, like, nervous and everything, it's just, like, me growing up, I never really thought that, like, there's places or people that actually, like, speak from the heart and everything.
If somebody saw you or met you, right, what do you think that they would think of you, and what would you like them to know?
I don't know. I want to say the intimidation, like the looks and like.
So people think you're intimidating.
Yeah.
That you're okay.
So people think you're so you're not intimidated by people. You think people are intimidated by you.
Yes.
And why do you think that?
Like I'm the type of person that like, I just have a serious face. The way I speak, or I feel like I have no filter sometimes, and like I really don't know. I always ask myself like, why is it that people think that?
I think one of the things that when I first met you that really stood out, and I was impressed, and I stopped my work because I was listening. You made me laugh so much. You are hysterical.
I don't know. I think like my humor just helps me like move forward instead of like thinking back to everything that I went through or like, you know, that until it happens to you, like I think you would like understand it more, like, you know, you would like take action more.
Do you want to talk about your story about how you came to be homeless, or do you want to talk about your history? Okay, so why don't you tell me how that happened and where you are now?
To begin with, I'm not born in the U.S. I came from Mexico. I came over here with my dad. He was married to my mom that raised me. My mom that raised me, she got cancer. It was just like myself, my brother, and my dad. And yeah, my dad like tried to do everything so we can have everything we needed and everything. He had to be the mom figure and the dad. I guess we, us three, didn't like know how to take it like for a loss. My life, like growing up, like it was just a roller coaster. It was hard for me, like as a girl, like, you know, like not having a mother figure. And like, I would just cry, like, you know, like it was hard for me. Cause I was a girl, I felt like I was spoiled and everything. All that started going on, like I was just questioning everything. I was scared. Cause yeah, like, I mean, my dad was old fashioned, you know? He was really strict on us. Yeah, it was first my brother, like he was out the door, like he dropped out. He went his own path. And then like, it was just me and my dad, like we had a house. And yeah, one time I was home alone and like one of the persons like that lived there, like he like took advantage of me and like, yeah, like I just, after that, like it just really like changed, you know, like changed me as a person. Like what hurt me the most is that my dad really like had the nerve to question me. So that's what like broke me. To get that from my dad, like that broke me, like that killed me, you know, like why would you think like I would be like, you know, like making that up? So that killed me. And like, yeah, I had like my own like issues still, like trying to heal, trying to like process everything. But that like just destroyed me, to be honest. So I just felt like, you know, like I wasn't getting attention. I was nobody. I just felt like nothing. So after that, like, I just, you know, wanted, like, to feel like somebody. So I just took the wrong path. I looked for love, attention in the wrong places. And that's just where...
How old were you around that time?
I think I was, like, 12, 13. Like, I think after, like, I started going to high school, like, in middle school, like, the end of eighth grade, it was when all that happened. Like, I started also using drugs, like, to heal or, like, you know, whatever, like...
To cope.
Yeah, like, to cope. Like in middle school, I started using marijuana. My dad was really strict, you know, like that. Like, I think that's what, like, blew him off, and, like, he was really on me after when I hit high school and, like... Yeah, and, like, all the, just everything going on, you know, like, I just didn't know how to cope or, like, heal or nothing. And then, like, school, that was, like, the place where I was able to be myself. I knew what I wanted to do, but just, like, the whole problems going, everything in, at home and just life, trying to process everything. I just feel like everything happened, like, you know, like, so fast.
It must have been so hard, right?
Yeah.
So this person that took advantage of you, did you see them all the time?
I mean, that person, like, he used to rent there, and, like, yeah, like, he was my dad's cousin. And that's, like, what, you know, like, broke me the most, in a way. But all my life, I feel like I've been taking advantage. And I just feel like, you know, coming from a different state, like, feeling that you have no voice because, you know, like.
Because no one's believing.
Yeah, like, it was really hard for me, like, to this day, like, you know, like, there's some things that I never really, like, spoke, you know, or told my dad. Why would I even bother to tell him, you know? Like I questioned, like, oh, maybe he won't believe me, or, like...
Are you still in touch with your dad?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And how old are you now?
I'm 23.
And do you feel like if you talk to him now, he still wouldn't believe you?
I think he would look back into everything and, like, put everything together now. I've talked to a lot of people and try to tell me, like, oh, like, pray to God, like, you know, like, just go on with your life. But I try, like, to understand them, but it's just, it's hard for me, like, to even not want, I don't want to say talk about it, because now I can talk about it, I guess, to accept it, because it's just, like, sad, like, yeah. To accept it, like, not everything, you know, is gonna, like, come out the way you want it, but...
It's almost like you're comforting that person that happened, that all that happened to, right? So you say that school was your escape. When you were in school, how did you use school to live that kind of fuller life? What did you do?
School, like, held me, like, of not giving up, because school, the reason why I actually kept going to school was I would do soccer. I was doing soccer, and I was also working through a program. So I think that's what kept me in school.
And where did you go? You went to Cesar Chavez?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, which is an arts magnet, right?
Yes, I went to the Artes magnet. I tried, like, at the time, I guess I had so many problems and issues that I also, like, at the time would take it on people. I think that's where, like, I made it a problem because I wouldn't get along with the teachers, or, like, I just would walk out because I would always be in my head and think, like, oh, I'm a snap. And I just would walk away from my problems or run away from my problems.
Did you finish school?
No, I haven't.
You haven't yet? Okay. And do you want to?
When, like, the subject comes, like, about school, it's kind of scary, I'm not going to lie. I never paid attention. Like, you know, people always did my work, or, like, they always...
People always did your work?
Yes, like, yeah, like...
So you talked people into doing your work for you?
I didn't really talk them into it. Like, I would just tell them, like, hey, like, you know, like, if I... Yeah, at the time it was cool, but now look at me, like, you know, like, I don't... What did I get out of it, you know? That's why it's, like, I always wanted, like, to go to school, like, to become either a vet tech or... I always, like, growing up, wanted to be a probation officer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but...
What about being a probation officer? Is it appealing to you?
I feel like my experience and, like, you know, like, my friends, families and all that, like, I just feel like we need more, like, probation officers, like, females, like, males and everything. Like, you know, that experience, that lifestyle maybe, you know, can maybe understand and, like...
That can relate.
Yeah.
Have a little more empathy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, more empathy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did you end up then homeless?
Because after, like, that happened, like, when they took advantage of me, I started, like, staying and living with my stepmom, my dad's wife now. when I started staying there, I wouldn't really talk as much to my dad, to the people that were living in there. I was just doing my own thing, and, like, I was getting myself involved with a lot of, like, people with, you know. I started using and, like, trying different drugs, and that's when I just wanted to run away, and that's just how I ended up homeless. I never went back. They did a missing report and all that, but I was just, at the time, like, really broken and, like, you know, like, really upset with my dad that I was just pointing fingers, blaming my dad. But in reality, it was just me trying to run away from everything.
So what age would you say that you went homeless?
Once I turned 18, I felt old enough, you know, like, oh, I can do this. So I was like, okay, like, that's when...
Yeah, I'm an adult now.
Yes.
So, all right. So you left school, right, and you were staying with friends. So, and you said you started using drugs. You said, and also you said your dad put out a missing persons.
Well, yeah, like when all that was happening, like when I became homeless and when I stopped attending school because I was trying to finish my credits to get my diploma. Yeah, like I had met this person and I was seeing her, and at the time, and I ended up just, like, leaving with her. I took all my stuff and everything, and that's when my dad, like, did the missing report. Mm-hmm. We were just staying in hotels, motels. I also mentioned that I was using drugs, like I'm drinking alcohol, like, just, you know, trying to, like, forget and, like, just run away, get away, you know. When I decided to leave with that person, like, in the beginning it was going okay, I guess, but then, yeah, like, we ended up sleeping in the car because, you know, like, the money and everything, like, ran out. Also, the car that we were staying in, like, didn't, like, really, like, work anymore, and we were just stuck, you know? We kind of, like, went our own ways, and I was just, you know, like, in the street, like, also that person, like, she would, like, put hands on me and, like, abuse me, and me, like, since... I just, you know, I just didn't want to feel alone. I didn't want to be by myself. I took it, I guess. I took it because I also thought that was okay and that was love, I guess, you know? So, like, this person I was with was a female, and, like, growing up without a mom, like, I guess, just, you know, having that attention, love, and everything, that was okay for me, you know? Like, I don't know, like, I still thinking, like, maybe growing up, I didn't really have the love and attention that I needed, or, like, I don't know, at that time, I didn't know what was I getting myself into. I was just trying to run away.
So it was a trade-off of you would take the abuse for the love.
Yes.
Did your dad have any, did he know that you had left with the woman? Did he have a problem with that at all, or?
I mean, after, like, you know, that person that took advantage of me, and, like, after that, like, I think I felt and I noticed that it was time to, like, come out,
I guess. And how old were you then?
I think I was, like, around 15, 16. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, at the time, I didn't even have, like, you know, like, for Mexican, like, I didn't have a 15 also because of that, because my dad, yeah. So that really, like, hurt me as well. Like, I couldn't really process it. I'm just like, wow, like, you know. But I understand, too, like, you know, the Mexican, like how they're really old-fashioned and all that. But it's just, like, I felt like... Like, I'm a really nobody. Like, you know, like, I came over here, and I'm now, I don't even have my dad. Like, you know, like, he doesn't accept me.
So it was a no quinceanera. It wasn't because of money. It was because you came out?
Yes. I don't know. Like, also, like, growing up, I didn't want a quinceanera, but because the person that raised me, you know, the mother figure that raised me, like, had passed away. So I was really, like, I was implying to, like, get presented by somebody that's not, you know, that didn't, like, you get me? Like, so I was really hurt. Just everything going on, you know, and how my dad, like, responded to that. I was just like, now I'm really by myself.
So things would happen and there was no resolution. There was no healing.
Yes.
It was just all piling up on top of each other.
Did he kick you out or he just didn't accept you?
I think, like, at the time, like, he started noticing that I was into girls, and, like, I think he didn't like that, or, like, he didn't know how to, like, talk about it, or, you know, like, even before that, I was in a relationship before, you know, he was trying to, like, be okay with it, still, like, his family, and, like, you know, like, I get it, like, I get it, like, old-fashioned, like, but still, like, I just felt like, I don't know, like, my life was over, because, I mean, coming from a different, you know?
So you felt like he just didn't have your back anymore?
Yes, like,
yeah.
growing up, like, I was just like, you know, like, whatever, like, fuck it, like, excuse me, my language, you know? I always went on, like, with hate, just hurt, like, broken. So at some point, yeah, I would think, like, cold-hearted, but then again, like, I would also remember where I came from, you get me? Yeah. So that's what, like, kept me going, like, remembering where I came from, where I was, and, like, yeah, like, I had different experiences, different types of crowds, different, you know, people that smoke marijuana, people that smoke methamphetamine, different crowds, you know, like, yeah, like, gangs as well. I don't know, I think that's what, like, formed me or, like, made me into who I am now. I was looking for love, for attention at the wrong places. Felt like, oh, yeah, like, you know, like, I'm getting attention or, yeah, like, they're loving me or, like, you know, just being there for me. Like, I felt like, okay, this is, my dad was strict on me and everything, like, you know, like, growing up, like, around gangs, I was, you know, like, fighting. And because I felt like, you know, fighting would make me feel better. I tried to, like, look back. I just didn't know how to, like, process or, like, to even talk about it because,
yeah.
How do you think? How do you think all of this affected your homelessness now? Like, it's what's, like, for example, what are the challenges you have about, you know, with homelessness, and how do you think they're connected to your past?
I feel like it affects me as a person because, like I was saying, like I don't forget where I come from, and then like, I mean, I know myself. I'm working like a day at a time or working on one thing like to change me as a person that I want to be. You get me? The way I dress or, like, you know, the way, like, I approach people maybe or the way I talk or the way I express myself. Like, even, like, you know, like, just, like, certain topics.
So in your mind you say, okay, so this is one thing that I feel like has held me back or defined me in a way I don't want to be defined, and so that's what I'm going to work on?
Yeah.
How did you end up here at the DIC? Like, and what kind of change has that meant for you? When I look at you, right, and when we were first talking out there and I didn't know you from anything, right, I wouldn't have thought you were homeless. I wouldn't have known that in a million years. Are you homeless now? Are you still homeless? Or are you housed?
I'm actually housed, like, yeah. When I was homeless, like, I, you know, like, I was just tired, like, of living the same lifestyle. Like, you know, I gave up. Like, I surrendered. Like, I was like, this is it. Like, I don't want this life, no, you know? So I just check myself in. Like, I also felt like my body was, you know, either gonna give up or at that time I really don't know, like, if I blacked out or what really happened to me, but I ended up going to the hospital, to all of you, and from there, like, yeah, like, to be honest, at that time also I also just wanted to sleep and eat, you know, I wanted to feel safe. So I just told them, like, yeah, like, you know, I'm hearing stuff, like, and I also at the time, like, I was, like, in the middle, like, oh, should I take my life? Or, you know, like, I was just thinking, like, in my head a lot. They took me over there to the hospital. I spoke to a social worker. And when I seen her, like, walk in the door, like you just feel that warmness, you know? Like, when people, like, when you see that, oh, there's help. I just seen the light, like, with her walking in. I'm just, like, she started talking to me, and I just, like, started, like crying and started telling her, like, you know, like, I don't care. Like, I don't care where I go. Like, I just want to change my life around. She said, are you ready though? And I told her yes. So they told me, oh, would you go through a treatment center? And I told them, like, yes, I would, you know? I really want it, you know? This is the time, like, not, it's gonna happen now. So at that time, they gave me the number and I called the Teen Project. It's a treatment center for women. And that day was when my life changed, like. Yeah, like, that day is, like, thank God that day they had a bed open for me. I was in that treatment center for a year, and I think that year, like, really helped me a lot. I was fighting battles and, like, everything, you know, because I was also, like, trying to fix the relationship with my dad. So going there, I was really broken. I also went in there crying. I'm just, like, I want to change my life around, and I heard different girls sharing their stories, and one of them really hit me, like, hearing a girl, like, talking about how she really wanted to, like, to fix her relationship with her dad, and that just broke me there, and I'm just, like, you know, like, I really, he's the only person I have now, you know, and my brother, so I'm just, like, just trying to heal there, and, like, you know, really thinking through everything that I did hurt and put my dad through, so I'm just, like, that's gonna be me, you know? Me seeing that person, sharing everything, and that really gave me a lot of hope. I mean, in the beginning, my stepmom, like, she would go visit me, but I was kind of hurt that my dad wouldn't go visit me, but I also knew that I didn't look okay for my dad to see me, you know? I think time, you know, like, being patient and the whole time, like, that I was there, it made me realize and, like, think differently. I mean, I'm also not going to point fingers and everything, and like I said, like, I chose to leave, you know? I chose to, like, walk out that door, like, I don't want to say, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, that's what I wanted. But I also don't regret it because, I mean, I look back and I'm just, like, you know, like, everything that I did, that I experienced, like, I think it like, changed me and it made me to the person I am now. Like, I mean, I still do mistakes, you know? Those, everything that I went through, like, I think, like, that was, like, a wake-up call. It's either now or never. Like, being homeless doesn't mean, like, you're a fuck-up. Like, you know, being homeless doesn't mean you're a troublemaker. This doesn't mean, like, you know, you're lazy. It doesn't mean that you don't know anything, you know? Mm. It's just, I just feel like being homeless, we don't know how to process or, like, come out or, like, to accept, you know, either ourselves or, like, the situation. I'm still in that category because I'm still, like, you know, fighting for my life, trying to, like, move on and, like, being homeless doesn't mean, like, you know, you're a gang member. Being homeless doesn't mean that you're lazy or, like, like, it's hard for, like, just understand, like, you know, like, when it comes to my rent. Sometimes I feel like asking questions, but, like, sometimes I feel like, oh, it's a stupid question. Growing up, felt like, you know, like, anything I would say, like, it didn't matter. Yeah, like, growing up with that trauma and everything, like, I mean, I still consider myself homeless because I'm still, you know, like, getting, like,
situated.
Yeah.
I have so much respect for you because, I mean, you're really, really dealing with what you need to deal with, you know, and to move forward in a really honest way instead of just fighting it, and that you took that action to like, reckon with it, right? So for your episode, right, what do you want to do and how do you want to do it? Let's think about, like, what subject matter you want to talk about and how you want to do it. And it doesn't have to be about homelessness. It can be about anything you want it to be. Mm-hmm. This is your time to be, like, whatever you picture yourself talking about. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, if you're tired of talking about homelessness, talk about something else. Talk about Walgreens. Do it.
I mean, the homelessness, I think it would help me as a person, you know, because even before we started this, you know, interview, like, so, like, my experience, maybe, like, me as an addict, I consider myself as an addict because once an addict, always an addict, right? To, like, you know, like, combine them, because, I mean, that's pretty much what I just coming out from, like, addiction and, like, homelessness. I mean, right now, like, I'm sure you noticed in the beginning I was kind of shy, you know?
Yeah.
Just hearing other examples and everything, like, I think it motivates me more. Because I think I'm always going to be that person that I'm just, like, in the middle, like, oh, should I do it? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I always second doubt myself. Like, I question everything.
Yeah. All right, so cool. I'll figure out who I can match you with.
Oh, I think they're going to love you.
I know. It hurts to hear you say how much you doubt yourself because you come off as so confident.
Yeah,
sharing it with my dad, right? And, like, I think he was breaking down because I think he even told me too. He shared it with me. He's like, I didn't think you were able to do it. And that kind of broke me, you know? But it kind of, like,
motivate me,
you know? Because, like, even before I got the apartment, like, I was like, how? Like, me? Like, all the, you know, like, bullshit and, like, everything I went through, like, why me? You get me? I get nervous. Like, I get emotional kind of, you know? Like, sometimes I want to cry, but it's just like, oh, my God.
Oh,
like,
we all do. We all
like, you know? Like, also, my dad was telling me, like, oh, don't forget about me. I'm like, Dad, like, you brought me over here. You really think I'm gonna forget about you?
Cool. Aww. No, I think it's gonna be great.
Yeah, I'm really excited to work with you.
That's great. I am too. Thank you.
Yeah.
So hard to say.
So if you guys ever find yourself in the same shoes that Lupe was, again, don't hesitate and just come on by, ask for help. We're here 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 3:30, and then Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 3. So the direct number for the DIC is 818-738-7327. Again, that's 818-738-7327.
Such a
problem. Okay. And thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to subscribe.
Our theme song is True by Haunted Horses NYC.
We're going to be on kpfk.org. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. Okay. I think that's it.
I see you are right. You see.